Our Holy Gospel today comes from the 21st chapter of Matthew. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of me, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus had told them, directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others put cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It was a tale of two processions. Believe it or not, there were two processions on that day when Jesus entered Jerusalem, that day that we are celebrating today. I spent some time this week reading a portion of a book called The Last Week, the day-by-day account of Jesus' final week in Jerusalem. And it was these authors, Marcus Borg and John Crossan, who make the claim that there were two processions on that day. And I thought it was fascinating, so I thought I would share that with you. Now you might be thinking, two processions? What was the other one? Well, thank you for asking, even if you didn't ask. Thank you for asking. I'm so glad you asked. So we'll start first with the one that we know, right? The one with Jesus in the lead. This procession entered Jerusalem from the east. Jesus rode a donkey down the Mount of Olives, and many followed him and cheered as he entered the city. These people who cheered for him, crying Hosanna, were his disciples and others who had been with him for a while. They had listened to his teaching, and they were astounded by his authority, his ability to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and more. These are the people that were asking themselves, could this really be the Son of David? Could this really be the Messiah that they have been waiting for? The people that followed Jesus were more than likely from the peasant class. They weren't the rich and the powerful. They were looking for someone or something to bring them hope in the midst of this Roman occupation they were living through. Many of them had journeyed with him to Jerusalem from Galilee, listening to this message that he preached about the kingdom of God. But there were people among him also who wondered who he was. Who was this man that was riding on a donkey? This man that people were cheering for. There were people who came upon this procession and they were baffled. They said, "Who is this man? Who is this man that people are so excited about that they are throwing their cloaks on the ground? Who is this man that caused an impromptu parade to break out?" This, they are told, is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This was procession number one. Now, procession number two was vastly different. It came in on the west side of the city, and this procession is led by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea and the surrounding area. Now, he didn't enter the city riding on a donkey. He entered the city riding on a mighty horse, riding at the head of a column of imperial soldiers. And often, Roman governors of Judea and the area wouldn't wouldn't likely be in Jerusalem all that often, but they were there for Jewish holidays. Not out of respect for the religion, but in case trouble broke out. This procession was much different than the other one. There were horses and foot soldiers with leather armor and weapons. There were banners and golden eagles. You could hear marching feet, clinking of bridles, and beating of drums. But the onlookers were more than likely silent. This procession was an invasion by a Roman governor that did not care about them. Some of the onlookers, I imagine, were curious. Some may have even been amazed, but I bet that many of them were resentful. They didn't want him or his soldiers to be there. Two processions. Roman Pilate's procession embodied the power and glory and violence of the empire that ruled the world at that time. Jesus' procession embodied an alternate vision, a vision of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Caesar and the Roman Empire. Jesus' procession deliberately countered what was happening on the other side of the city. And these two processions highlight the central conflict in the days to come. Now, I share these two processions with you not only because they were fascinating, but also for a couple reasons. First, it really made me think about how much it highlights how Jesus' message is not the message that we hear from the world. We see this contrast in these two processions, the ways of Jesus versus the ways of the Roman Empire. And we see that in our world today, too. It may not be conflicting processions on two opposite streets in Bismarck, but we hear conflicting messages all the time, don't we? One of the messages we often hear has its focus on us as individuals. What is best for me? What are my rights? What can I do to succeed? It's a message that values prosperity and power and success and more. Yet as Christians, we hear a different message. One that is focused on loving God and loving our neighbor. It asks questions like, who can we help? Who can we welcome? Who needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ? It's a message that values love and grace and mercy, humility, among other things. It's one that is counter to the message that our world often gives us. And I think at times we need to ask ourselves, what message are we listening to? What are our priorities as children of God? Now, it doesn't mean that success or money or things like that are wrong. They just aren't central to who we are as children of God, as followers of Jesus. Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey to make a statement that was counter to what the Romans were saying. And we, as witnesses to this, can listen to his message in our world today. The second reason I'm sharing this with you about the two processions today is this. These two processions are just the beginning of a very important week. This is not the end of the story. There's so much that goes on between the waving of the palms and the resurrection at the grave. And it is so important each year that we travel this journey to the cross with Jesus, to understand that there is conflict there and the conflict leads to Jesus' death on the cross, but to also know it doesn't end there. As we intentionally walk through the days of this Holy Week, we are able to embrace all that Jesus has done for us, to witness as Jesus leaves final instructions for his disciples at the Last Supper, to feel his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane as he prays, to witness his arrest, to listen in as Jesus is questioned and beaten, and finally nailed to the cross and breathes his last breath. This journey is an important one, and I invite you to take that journey with us this week, whether in person or online. When we go from the celebrations of Palm Sunday straight to the celebration of Easter, without journeying to the cross in between, we miss so much. So we wave palms today. We join in the chorus of onlookers who yell, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." May we continue our journey in the ways of Jesus in all that we do. Not just week, just this week as we journey to the cross and to the empty tomb, but every day of our lives. As we proclaim in our words and our actions that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the one who was sent to save us. And Jesus' love is for all people. A message that we and our world so desperately need to hear each and every day. Amen.